This is the Restless Millennial Podcast, a podcast where I interview young entrepreneurs and give them a space to tell their story and provide value to others. I'm your host, Stefan Spiroff. Today on the show, we are welcoming the Canadian Barbecue Boys. And who are the Canadian Barbecue Boys? Well, you might think they go to people's houses and barbecue for them, which is ultimately what people usually think of when they hear Canadian Barbecue Boys. But what they actually do is they're a barbecue cleaning service in Ontario, and they go to people's homes and they clean their barbecues. Now, Matt McCoy and Mike Sutton started this business about 4 years ago when they were still in high school. There are now university students, business students at the University of Guelph, and they have created this business out of a realization they had in high school when their parents hired people to clean their barbecue. Apparently, this company who came to their house didn't do a good job and charged their parents a lot of money for this cleaning service, and they thought, hey, maybe we could do this better. So that's exactly what they did. The Canadian Barbecue Boys were born. And fast forward 4 years, and the two boys actually just recently appeared on an episode of CBC's Dragon's Den. Yes, but they did not only appear on Dragon's Den, they also signed a deal with Jim Treliving, who, if you don't know, he's the billionaire owner of Canadian restaurant franchise Boston Pizza. So it's a really big deal. So what are you going to listen to on this episode? What are you going to learn from this episode? One, you're going to learn some secrets about Dragon's Den that you definitely didn't know of. And two, you're going to learn how to start a business from scratch without any prior knowledge in that field, because that's exactly what Mike and Matt did. They didn't know how to clean barbecues, but they learned. They educated themselves, and they learned about something they had no experience in and turned it into a successful business. So if that sounds like something you want to do in the near future, check out this episode. Finally, let's get to the episode. Here's Matt and Mike. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Restless Millennial Podcast, the voice of the motivated youth. Today I'm here with Matt and Mike, and they are the Canadian Barbecue Boys. So that's kind of self-explanatory, but I'll let you guys explain more about what it's actually about. So what are the Barbecue Boys?
Well, that's actually funny. A lot of people get us mistaken for we sell, you know, barbecue and meats and different things. But what we do, we're a barbecue cleaning service in Ontario. We're looking to go Canada-wide, North American-wide. We're looking to expand our brand right now. And basically, we're going into our fourth year of business. We hire a crew of students every year. They just go around in the local communities, and they do the service at residential, and then we have a couple commercial clients as well.
So how did this start? How did you come up with the idea, let's clean barbecues for a living?
Yeah, so a little bit of background. I guess the long story short here is the two of us we went to high school together, came up with the idea when we were actually in a grade 12 accounting class.
Really?
Yeah, we were kind of just brainstorming. We were like, hey, we don't want to go back to our typical summer jobs that we were working. He'd been working for his dad for a couple of years. I've been working at Longo's for a couple of years. So we wanted to start something new. So his parents actually had gotten the service done. This is kind of what sparked the idea to come to light. They had a terrible experience, spent a lot of money, and they just kind of the guy had to come back a couple of times. All in all, it was just we saw the opportunity in front of us. And then the two of us, we love the outdoors. We love working kind of in the summer, working outdoors, and obviously the grilling season. We're super passionate about that. So the pieces just kind of came together there. We kind of just preliminarily started with a business plan. We kind of brainstormed the classic business plan you find online, put it together, the business came to life in our first summer of university.
So how did you guys educate yourself? How did you learn how to clean barbecues?
So yeah, it was actually pretty funny. So we kind of just went online, and there isn't really a video or a how-to manual, there are, but it's mostly for house homeowners. If you're cleaning your own barbecue, do this and this, soap them off, really basic stuff. So you can't really charge someone for that. Mm-hmm. So basically it was a lot of R&D. We basically just set up, cleaned my barbecue for about 6 to 8 hours. Had to come back the next day, redo it basically, because we just didn't do a very good job. So it was a lot of trial and error. And once we had somewhat of a process, it still wasn't very good. We just went out and started selling it. Mm-hmm. And before we even really knew what we were doing, we just started going door to door, charging basically next to nothing. So basically we were just pitching, and we were charging about $60. And like three of us would show up for like 4 hours and just, you know, just really like grind it out. Yeah. Like it was very like hands on. And we'd end up doing like a decent job. And then we'd really work with our customers and they would say, okay, like I didn't like this, I like this. Then we'd stay behind, you know, we'd make sure that they were, like the job was done well. And we basically weren't making any money that way,
yeah.
But we were learning the process. So we kept doing that. We kept doing that until we actually came up with a good process. And then we started raising our prices from there.
So in terms of your competitors, like what did you see the people who were the other people who were doing what you do? Like what did you see that they were doing wrong that you guys could provide a solution to?
Yeah,
like,
so
I know you mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. So when we were putting the business plan together, we did the most organic of organic competitor research. So we literally just called them up, asked them, hey, what do you do? What do you charge? Different things like that. So what we discovered was they actually take a grinder, basically, and put a stainless steel wheel head on the grinder, basically just shred apart the entire barbecue. And that's actually a unique competitive advantage that we have because we find a lot of our competitors actually damage the barbecue through the process. So the customer opens it up and sure, it's shiny new, but the enamel has been completely stripped and ultimately that leads to the barbecue lasting significantly less long because it's been damaged throughout the, if you get it done every year, it's continuously getting more and more stripped. And basically we saw an opportunity to kind of build that into our value proposition where we, that was a unique value that we had, that we actually increased the longevity of the barbecue mm-hmm. because we use non-abrasive cleaning process.
Cleaning products.
Okay. So we did a lot of kind of R&D in terms of we did a lot of online research, we learned on the job, and we constantly went and reinvented our process, and it's still a big part of how we operate in general, where we reinvent kind of our back-end processes, but also on the front line, we'll reinvent our cleaning process, reinvent our sales process, constantly reinventing and innovating and making our business more efficient, more effective.
And in terms of price, like what were the competitors charging opposed to what you
guys? So they're upwards of $200 is like their average sort of thing.
For one cleaning.
For one cleaning. And we started off charging, like I said, $60. By the end of our first summer, we were in like a $110, $120 range.
Oh, wow.
Now we charge between $150 and $260. So it's an average of $175. So we are priced a little bit lower than our competitors and we do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
We provide better customer service. And I mean, we're the highest rated service in the GTA for a reason. So, yeah.
So what challenges did you guys face early on? Like, how did your first summer go doing this?
Yeah, so I mean, we had a number of challenges. Obviously, each year our business has kind of reinvented itself and been completely different. So in our first summer, our challenges were unique to kind of this process development on the ground. So we were still figuring out how to clean barbecues mm-hmm. properly, how to market our business, how to grow our business, because we really wanted to get to a point where we had a team, we could scale our company kind of right off the get-go. So our challenges were kind of more on the front lines in our first year, figuring out how we could actually do this process properly, how we could turn this kind of couple 18-year-olds doing a service into an actual business. And then kind of throughout the time as we developed the business, as we developed the model, we kind of refined and our problems kind of became more organizational problems. So HR problems, managing, having the proper management procedures where we had our guys who were happy, motivated, and kind of getting some value out of the experience with us. And then, yeah, a lot of our challenges kind of, since we're in a unique circumstance where not a lot of businesses exist in this space, there's not a lot of competitor research that we can do to kind of
right.
use their processes and procedures, whereas a lot of businesses that you start, you can kind of emulate the big guy, the big player, and kind of recreate what they're doing. But we kind of have to, everything that we introduce is kind of our own innovation, our own thoughts, which is awesome. I mean, we love to do that. That's something we're super passionate about. And it's kind of led us towards that innovative model. But yeah, our biggest challenge is that everything we're doing, it's mostly the first it's been done. And we're applying things that are used in other industries to our industry.
So you're kind of setting the bar in a sense.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. We're able to really pioneer our own processes, our own procedures. That's kind of like the first of its kind in the industry.
Yeah. And you guys do a lot of, you employ a lot of students as well, right?
Exactly.
I've heard of other companies. I know there's one called StudentWorks Painting where they do like a similar
right.
thing. Is that like exactly what you guys do? Like you give students like an opportunity to work in the
so,
summer and.
Yeah, so it's similar. So we actually tested out the franchising business model in our second year. We looked at the whole StudentWorks franchising model and the College Pro franchising model that a lot of people are familiar with. And we just saw a lot of issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge capital investment that
right.
students have to put up, basically. We're talking like $10,000, $20,000.
Really?
Exactly, yeah. And there's a lot of risk. So if you don't have that money in your bank account, they have loans, they have all these different incentive programs to get you that financing. And then you also have personal risk, personal guarantees. You have to guarantee a certain amount of sales, and you're personally liable for basically if your territory doesn't do very well, you're personally liable for that.
Who's personally liable? The regional manager?
So they go through this whole franchising process. So it's very extensive. A lot of legal complications and stuff like that. So we wanted to eliminate that. So it's a lot easier for us to bring in our students just for a summer. They want to come in, get good experience. They don't want that risk. They don't want to have to put up investment. They just want to learn. They want to grow inside of like an innovative startup company. And we provide that opportunity. So a lot similar to College Pro, except we kind of take out all that bullshit where they have to like go through that whole extensive process.
So how does it, let's say you're a student and you like you work for Canadian Barbecue Boys, like how does it work in terms of what you make and like how many hours you put
in? Yeah, so basically what we do is we start everyone off as a crew member. So they basically just start off at the bottom level. They're doing the service, they're learning the service. And then they have the ability to move up to a territory manager. So they get a pay raise, they'd be, they'd be making $18 per hour plus incentives every week. We do bonuses for sales, marketing, how they're helping us grow in their territory. And basically, instead of being a franchisee, they're an employee of our company. So they're guaranteed their minimum wage, or sorry, their $18 an hour, they're guaranteed their wage. And then we provide them incentives to help them grow their territory. And they take on more of a business development, marketing, sales-oriented role in the organization. And then we also give them the ability to manage a team, grow their team, hire people, etc., like the College Pro business model.
So do you guys employ a lot of high school students?
No. Almost all college and university students.
Yeah. So I think that's good too, because during the summer, that's people are out of school anyway. So
exactly,
it's a good opportunity to take on a summer job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that actually goes right into the question, like what? So what do you guys do in the winter, since barbecuing is a very seasonal kind of service?
So we're students, so we go back to school. We work on the business. And recently, we've actually launched our online store. So we're selling barbecue parts, barbecue accessories. We're expanding that, so we can operate all year round. But yeah, we will still be making the primary amount of our revenue in the summer months.
Do you get any customers during the winter? Like, are there some people who like to get their barbecues clean during the winter so it's ready for the summer?
Yeah, so we have a lot of people reaching out. It's just not really convenient for us because, so in the summer, we operate with territories. Last summer, we actually had all the way from Niagara Falls to Ottawa throughout the GTA and then Guelph, Kitchener, and Waterloo. So we're in Guelph, we're learning, we're students, we have full course loads. So if someone calls us from Ottawa in the winter, we can't get out, you know, it's not possible. So we do like to do a couple jobs here and there for customers and clients, but it's just really hard for us. But that's something we want to build out moving forward, sort of expand the season where we can do some part-time stuff throughout the entire year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So on a lighter note, you guys recently were on Dragon's Den.
Yes, we were.
So, I mean, what was that experience like and how did that kind of fall into place?
Yeah, so that was a very cool experience for us. So a little bit of a story there as well. So we actually didn't set out to be on Dragon's Den. It wasn't something that we applied, we looked into. So one day we were just kind of working on our business. We were in the office there and I just got a call on my cell phone, which back in that day was our company kind of line. So that's, we were still very startup. And they called me up and it was one of the producers and they said, hey, we came across your business. We saw you guys online, we saw you guys however they did, and we just kind of took that as, we took it pretty lightly. We're just like, they're probably just calling all the companies they see that are kind of a little bit unique, and they said, we'd like to come, we'd like you to come out and audition in front of the producers. So they're kind of making their rounds. They do a little bit of a cross Canada tour to try to get companies from each region. So they're going to be in Guelph, and we talked about it amongst ourselves, and we're just like, meh. I mean, we're still very startup. I mean, we're not really much of a company yet. We're not really ready to go on Dragon's Den. So we just passed up. We just told them, hey, we might be there. We passed up on it. So then they came by to Guelph. And then about a week after, they gave us a follow-up call. And they said, hey, why weren't you here? So that's when we got a little excited. We're like, hey, like maybe this is kind of legit. So we're just like, all right, we'll go. And we kind of just, we drove to Niagara Falls and we just talked about what we're going to say on the car ride there.
Really? You guys didn't prepare anything?
We didn't prepare because it was actually getting towards the end of the auditions. It was the second last one.
Oh, this was for the audition?
Just the audition. Okay. The audition. Second last one. So we're just like, so we put together, we kind of did some prep, but not really too much. And then we just talked. It was kind of more of, you stand up in front of like a group of three producers, kind of talk about your business a little bit. We did all right. We did decently well. So they call us back and they're just like, we're going to put you on the waiting list. So just be ready for the call. A lot of people get called. So 2 days before they wanted us to go in front of the Dragons, they said, hey, can you guys go? Or like, we've selected you. Can you go in front of the Dragons? And we were just like, whoa. And the worst, I mean, even worse than that was a day before we were starting our operation for the season. So like kicking off, doing our training, like getting all of our guys. And this past year, we did a massive expansion. So we were just like, had all this workload at us. And then all of a sudden this Dragons Den comes up. So again, we had 2 days notice and we still had to like launch our business on it was April 23rd that we launched, and April 24th was the Dragon's Den day. So honestly, we weren't ready for it at all. We still had to go through with starting on the 23rd. So what we did was we called one of our customers. We wanted a prop. We wanted to kind of set up like a backyard kind of thing. So we had some good visuals for TV. Kind of wanted to come in with a half clean, half dirty barbecue.
Right.
So we called one of our customers. We asked, hey, like we're gonna be on Dragon's Den tomorrow. Can we take your barbecue? And we explained to them. They're like, yeah, I mean, as long as you bring it back and it's clean. Like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, they were super excited. They're like, yeah, absolutely. Like, we're like, yeah, we got to bring it on CBC.
Barbecue's making
like,
a cameo
yeah.
on TV.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then even so, we drive to the Dragons, and we honestly had no time to prepare a pitch. So we had no pitch. I mean, for the producers, we had like somewhat of something. For this, we had nothing. So we're driving there. It's about 30 minutes. We come up with like some pointers. We were just like, hey, we want to do this, this, and this. Here's going to be the setup. And we get there and there's like, no, like,
wow.
You get, like, that's not approved. Cause you have to like, you have to do it again in front of the producers. And they're just like, no, you have to like, you can't do that. Like we want to bring one of our crew members on and kind of like do a little bit of a demo, get like the Dragons involved a little bit. And they're just like, no, it has to be just you two. You guys have to be like the face of it. They didn't want any employees up there.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, we basically came up with the pitch while we were at the CBC studio downtown, like a couple hours before we went and saw the Dragons.
Yeah. We asked them, we're like, can we please go last? Like we had like no notice and they're like, yeah, they understood. And they made us the last pitch. So we basically had 2 hours when we were at like on set. To come up with it.
What did that feel like? Were you guys, was your head racing? Like,
honestly, like now that I think back at it, it was kind of good because like we didn't have time to get nervous. Like if you overthink it and you like put together like, all this like information on like a, you know, like a document, you keep reading it over and over, like like a speech basically.
Right.
We didn't have that. We were just looking
just
ourselves in the mirror sort of thing, coming up with like an organic sort of pitch based on like our experience, how we've pitched to customers in the past, what we know about our business. So it was really organic and we didn't really have time to over practice or overthink anything. It was kind of just like we got up there and we just said our stuff.
So what did it feel like as you were walking out into like the stage and you saw the Dragon sitting there?
Well, the worst thing was they had us. And so there's a technical difficulty. So, you know, the tunnel that you walk through, they had us wait there for like 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh,
and we're just sitting there like just soaked in sweat, just like so nervous. And you're just like, oh man, like we're about to go on TV and we got to sit here for another 5, 10 minutes with like, and since we were last, we had like the whole like casting crew like behind us just like getting excited because like we're the only students there and
at least you guys
like,
got to watch everyone else right
You don't get to see anyone because we're in the back, so it's just like you go out there and it's completely separate.
I thought there'd be like a TV screen or something showing like,
no
it would have
like,
been nice
that would have been
nice
because unless there was bad pitches
they really like shut them down.
But yeah, it's interesting because like we both grew up watching the show and like when you see it on TV, it looks like really like organic, like it's in like a warehouse and like. But when you get there, it's a full on like set, like it is a set. There's there's a bunch of cameras pointed at you, lights, camera, action, sort of situation. So it's like, it's very overwhelming.
So this was shot in April and it just recently aired, right?
Late April, yeah. It was like April 24th, and then it aired on January
10th, yeah.
So and you guys actually went on the show and it ended up getting a deal with Jim Trilliving.
Yeah, he gave us exactly what we came for, which was
$50,000 for 10% of your business,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what did it feel like when you guys reached that deal? Like,
so actually, before the show, we said like to like the producers before they actually filmed us, and we said, yeah, we came for a deal with Jim. So how they showed it on TV was a little bit different than what actually happened. So how they showed it on TV, they showed like, I think, 3 or 4 of the Dragons go out, and then we had the deal with Jim. But what actually happened on the show was only one guy went out. It was Vincenzo. He went out, and then Jim basically came out of nowhere. Arlene kind of said, okay, offer them something, Jim. And then he said, yeah, I'll give them exactly what they came for. And then we're like, we kind of both looked at each other, and Matt like was like this. So I thought he meant like, yeah, we're taking that deal right now. So I just started walking up, and I was like, yeah, we'd love to accept that offer, Jim. And all the Dragons got super upset because they were just like, you're not even going to hear us out. Like a lot of them were like interested in like coming up with some sort of like deal sort of thing, right? But Jim offered us like exactly what we wanted. So I kind of was like super excited and blew it for all the other Dragons, but we got exactly what we came for.
That's really interesting that they actually tell the Dragons to like to go out on purpose just for the show.
Well, a lot of what they do on the show, they'll like do things because they know it's a show.
Yeah,
so like a lot of them will have like their little anecdotes because they want to have that Dragon's Den moment.
Yeah.
So I mean, for example, all the Dragons were just like, oh, we're going to follow you guys. Like we're going to like reach out to you guys after. Like we love you guys. We want to like follow your story. And then like we reach out to them after the show and like,
so
like
how does
busy.
It work?
They're obviously busy. Like
they but no, sorry, just to go back on that. So like, it's not like the producers told them like go out. It's just the way they showed it on TV. So they all ended up going out after, but they showed it on TV like they went out before.
They just reorganized.
They reorganized like the chronological order
of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, when Jim, like, offered you guys this deal, like, did you feel like we made it? Like,
yeah, it was just, like, we were super excited because it's exactly what we wanted, and we weren't expecting that.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
We didn't know how especially to value our business. Exactly. We kind of just showed up. We're like, worst case, we get on TV. You know, it's good publicity sort of thing, but it really worked out for us, which was awesome.
So how has the direction of your business kind of changed since?
So the interesting thing was that we went on the show, like, when we were kind of still a startup, and we started our business, like, grew our business substantially over the last summer. So our business has kind of developed and grown quite a bit since then, and kind of our vision for how we want to take things. It's kind of a lot more than just Canadian Barbecue Boys. So kind of the process with Jim is you go through a due diligence process, and no deal's been made. There's been no kind of financing our way. But since the show has kind of aired, we've been reached out to by a lot of investors that have been interested. So now we're kind of pivoting where we want to look at our options. We want to look, hey, are we going to take an investment? Is it the right play for us? Or what kind of, who do we want as an investor? What we're looking for in an investor. So our business has grown substantially since the show. And then the show aired. So it's kind of prepping us for this year. So a lot of new developments have been going on. And we've definitely, it's been a completely life changing.
I
want
to go back to that, if you guys don't mind. Like, you said that no financing has come your way from the show. How does that work if you guys, like, sign the deal with Jim?
So how it works on the show, it's literally just a handshake deal.
Yeah.
One of his representatives comes to you afterwards, gives you a deal sheet, and then it's, like, a very extensive due diligence process. And with Jim especially, it's very long.
Mm.
So we have kind of a lot of time to figure out what we want to do. And since after the show, we've had a number of investors actually reach out. We're kind of weighing our options.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things we did learn about working with Jim. So he's actually not involved as we, mm-hmm. like, he's not as involved as we thought he would be. The mm-hmm. reason why we wanted to go with Jim in the first place is because we wanted a mentor. We wanted a guy who's, you know, grown a massive empire of franchises. But kind of what we learned afterwards is, like, you get one lunch with him. And then
really?
You work.
Have you guys
had
that lunch with them yet, or
no? So then after, like, it's after everything's been finalized, you have one lunch with them, talk about big picture stuff, and then you just deal with his investment team.
Right.
So that kind of turned us off quite a bit.
Yeah.
Also, we kind of, like Matt was saying, we kind of re-engineered our vision for the company over the summer. So we've moved away from just Canadian Barbecue Boys. We're happy to go into a little bit more detail about that a little bit later on. But it's kind of just like we're sort of reevaluating and seeing, okay, maybe we can leverage the show, the valuation we got on the show, go to other investors, see if there's, you know, different possibilities, different arrangements that we can work out with.
Especially
with
the video's out there now.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, we've leveraged Dragon's Den quite a bit from the publicity, getting a lot of articles, a lot of podcasts, a lot of people reaching out and stuff like that. So, I mean, either way, it's been such a great opportunity.
So what words of advice would you give to a company starting out that gets the opportunity to go on Dragon's Den?
Leverage it as much as possible. You know, people want to see, like, if you can share as many posts about Dragon's Den, it's going to be great for your brand. Reach out to as many news outlets, have a viewing party, like, do all these things and promote your company as, like, for all the hype of Dragon's Den.
Right.
And that's what we did.
Dragon's Den's really just a platform to give you the opportunity to really use it.
Right.
So, for example, I mean, we created a press package with all the images, a lot of content of our company, and sent it to literally every single local press that we could. We've been featured about, I'd say, 12 to 15 now different newspapers, both print and online. And that's because we actively reached out. We actively wanted to really leverage the experience. And I think that the biggest word of advice is, just because you're on Dragon's Den, it doesn't mean that anyone's going to come to you. Obviously your inner network is going to reach out and congratulate you. There's going to be a lot of that. But if you want to use the experience to build your brand, you really got to be active and do a lot of work behind it. And for example, we've built our social media following now. We've really kind of positioned our company for a long-term expansion because of the show. And a lot of people might think that just happens automatically, and I just want to emphasize that really doesn't. It you got to really hustle. You got to really bring the mentality that made your startup a startup into then post Dragon's Den the experience.
So you guys said you've experienced a shift in your business since Dragon's Den. You're doing some other stuff that's not just cleaning barbecues, and can you go into more detail about that just so people know?
Yeah. So basically, what we're developing now, and what we've had kind of in the back of our heads for a while, is kind of using our expertise with being in the home services sector. Because basically, what we're operating within one industry of a large sector, and we've always kind of had a vision where we can take our experience and apply it to other similar services. So that's where the direction we're kind of headed. And originally we had an idea, hey, like, why can't we take the Uber model to all the home service industry? Mm-hmm. And we discovered that there's a lot of people trying to do it. There's a lot of people failing at doing it. We were actually on one of the largest platforms that does it in the local Toronto and GTA region. And we just saw a ton of flaws with it. We kind of went on their platform as our form of customer discovery, as our form of figuring out, is this a good idea? Is this a viable business model? We just learned just so many flaws with that model. So what we want to really do is, I mean, our expertise is in marketing and branding, and we have a very good sense of the industry and how customers like to interact with service providers, what the key pain points that there are for customers, and we want to take that to other brands within the same overarching brand that people can trust for quality, people can go to for the best service, and it's reliable. Hey, you got your barbecue cleaned by us? You can get this, this, and this done by us as well. So, and being a one-stop shop for anything around the home, we basically want to own the home.
Like any... What do you mean by like anything around the home, like repairs and stuff like that? Cleaning, repairs?
Any home services. So there's a number. So there's landscaping, there's car detailing, there's eavesdrop cleaning. I mean, there's so many little services that people get. We've done research on about 50 different home service types that exist right now. And each one of them is their own unique industry. And we find, for example, the platforms, they come from the outside looking in and they see... they don't have really an extent of knowledge of how the industry operates.
Right.
They see it as, okay, well, all these services are basically the same. The customer just gets this provider to come. But we know the ins and outs of how companies go about operating, how companies go about executing the service, and how they've built up their business. And we want to take that and basically create this vertically integrated platform from user experience to all the way through the back-end process and procedures and really dominate this.
So like a one-stop shop kind of thing.
One-stop shop.
Home repairs. So it's like, let's say there's a problem with your sink or something. Instead of calling a plumber, they'll call you guys because you guys can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Wow. So, and you guys would be, like you said you were looking at the model that Uber was using. So like the kind of model where like you'd have an app and then someone would order a service based on that app.
Absolutely.
And then you guys do or do not want to go that route?
So we do want to build that out, but we want to build it up from the ground up first.
Okay.
Before starting this app where you can just plug and play for all these on-demand services, we really want to build up the brands and figure out the process and procedures and kind of standardize the quality that we offer.
Right.
And then basically the overarching is that overarching brand that can do all these services.
So you guys are just saying that you want to figure that out first, become a master of the different services, and then go out and build the app once you're ready for that.
Yeah, and we actually built. So we actually build out an app for our company right now. So from the start, I mean, we've been passionate about barbecues, but we've really been passionate about the tech side as well, and how we can apply technology to an existing business to make it more efficient, make it scalable. First year business, we went out on the market. We were like, we need something that can quote and schedule people. And that was based on our experience, just taking calls nonstop, people emailing us, and we're busy doing the jobs. We don't have time to kind of stop. Like, it was my cell phone, and we'd be doing the service. We'd be out cleaning someone's barbecue, and I get 4 or 5 calls, and Mike's just working away, and I'm just on the phone like, oh, yeah, I'll book you for tomorrow, I'll book you for the next day. And so we were just like, okay, we need an app that we can put on our website that can give a customer a quote and schedule them into our
Is that app live now, and can people...
So that was our first year. We just used a $25 plugin that we found, and we realized there was so many... There are so many headaches with that because there's so much more than just the quote and the schedule. So we actually went and reached out to a developer that we knew from Oakville, our hometown, and we had him develop kind of more of a comprehensive booking and quoting app. So then this past season, we were just like, we want to expand this and really run our business through this one app. So we want to manage the entire customer experience, and we want to manage a lot of the back end, back-end admin work that goes into the whole customer process.
Right.
So we built out version 1 last year with a team of developers in India. Of course we had to use, we had to outsource to a team because as a startup, we didn't have a lot of funds to use. And then this year we're very confident that we're going to have, an end-to-end app that's going to be substantially better. We've invested, we put together, kind of the frameworks for this app, and it's going to be live, hopefully March 15th, that's the deadline. But definitely by the beginning of April, we'll be able to publish that on our website and have, all of our customers go right on that.
Yeah. So basically the vision is to develop this app. Make it exactly what it needs to be for Canadian Barbecue Boys, develop our process, procedures, our brand, and then apply that to other industries, other services.
And just add your services to it.
Exactly.
As you learn more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting because it's like, I don't think there's anything else like that out there, like a one-stop shop for home repairs. Like, it's usually you're calling just all the
individual. Exactly. So there are things like that. But like Matt was saying, they're more of a platform.
Yeah.
So they'll connect you with a service provider. They'll connect you with another business, right? Like the Angie's List, or the one in Toronto is called Jiffy. So basically you go on their app and you can book home service pros, but it connects you with a different business. So what we want to do is vertically integrate. So you're always connecting with our pros.
Business.
Like it's going to always be the same business.
Yeah.
So we're reputable. You know, it's the same quality control. And we can really control everything from customer all the way down to the service provider.
That sounds great. Yeah. Wow. That's really amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So if someone told you 5 years ago that you guys would be cleaning barbecues for a living right now, what would you say?
We probably wouldn't even understand. Like, what kind of business is
that?
Yeah, 5 years ago, we didn't even know this was a service.
Yeah.
Like, when my parents got it, it was kind of just like, oh, people need to clean their barbecues. We both kind of said that. And then we're like, oh, that's interesting. And then we kind of thought, like, okay, my parents got it done. Other people's parents must need to get it done. We talked to some people. They're like, oh, yeah, like, I clean my barbecue every year. It's the worst job around the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then we looked. We did competitor research. There's very few companies doing it. And the ones who are have terrible customer service. Like, you call them in April, and they'll be like, yeah, we'll be there in, you know, start of June.
Or give me a call back in June.
Give me a call back.
Give me a call back.
So they keep you waiting 3 months to get your barbecue pan.
Well, they keep you waiting, like, you know,
they don't want your
5 to 8 weeks sort of thing at the start because they're very busy. So we've kind of taken more of a customer-oriented approach where we build everything around the customer experience, and kind of bringing just a new light to the industry where a lot of the guys are, they're gas techs, they're, you know, they're trained, they're licensed professionals. And instead of doing repairs and focusing on that side of it, we focus on the cleaning and providing the professional cleaning service that's very customer-oriented and providing a really good customer experience. Mm-hmm.
So you guys clean any type of barbecue?
Yeah,
there's many types of barbecues.
So even like charcoal barbecues too, they need to be cleaned, or is it just
less frequent?
Yeah,
we get less inquiries because that's basically just the components. You have to clean the main frame and just change out the charcoals.
Yeah, because like gas barbecues, like a main reason why people call us out is like performance issues.
Right.
So the actual burners and the, like, you know, cleaning those out to make sure that the barbecue's operating properly. Whereas the charcoal, like, you don't have those issues.
Mm, right? Exactly. And are there some people who like just never get their barbecues cleaned? Like if I think about my parents, I don't think they've ever gotten their barbecue cleaned.
A lot of people, it's the most neglected appliance.
We preach that like crazy, and like to scare you a little bit, but to like bring you like what we see on a daily basis. 75% of barbecues have, you know, rodent droppings, dead insects, all these
crazy
disgusting things. Like we found dead mice in people's barbecues, and they're cooking on that. You know, they're feeding their families with this appliance. I mean, they have no idea because it's just a mess. And once
you
start digging into it, it's like, holy crap. And we've brought customers out, we've shown them, and they've got us back every year after they see that.
So where exactly would this mouse be hiding? Like, in an area that's not, like, you can't see it?
Yeah, well, so in the winter, they crawl in, right, and there's all this grease, all this grime. That's, like, heaven for them. They get to hibernate, like, in your bottom
living,
basically. They live there, yeah.
That's their home.
While you're painting something, they're still alive.
So it's usually when people don't use it for a couple weeks, they'll burrow in. Or if they use it, like, you know, once a week or something, you know, it's nice and warm for them. They have all the food they need. They can have their babies. They can create basically an entire ecosystem in your bottom tray. And they just live there all season, mostly over the winter. But I mean,
that's quite
and
disgusting.
We see evidence of it even when there's like acorn shells and stuff in there. It's like, how did the acorn get in the bottom?
Yeah,
it's because they're
bringing
their
taste.
One time in our first year, actually, Matt, like, because one thing we grew it through door to door. So we'd always go, like, we just go door to door. And our main sell was getting into their backyard. Like, yeah, well, we can give you a quote, but let me just go back and see your barbecue.
Yeah.
So one time Matt opened up the barbecue and this little mouse just scurried out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's going to be an additional $50. Just for us to touch that.
Jeez.
So
for
that's
sure.
Crazy. So like a mouse is like the craziest thing you've seen in a barbecue.
Yeah, that's debatable.
Yeah.
I've seen
it's
it
debatable.
Like,
you see a lot of stuff.
In one, I saw an entire ant colony and it was just really weird because I use their barbecue often and there was like just entire ant colony, basically.
Wow.
Like thousands and thousands of ants growing out of like all different parts of the barbecue.
That's
it was just super weird. I don't even understand how it really worked. But
yeah, it's more like less scary, but more just like,
how?
What?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
The things
you
don't know
about. Because people will scrape the surface, especially they'll just be like, oh, like my barbecue's fine. They'll just open it up. They'll be like, it's meant to be black in there. It's like, okay, well, let's lift off the cooking grates and see what's actually inside the barbecue.
See what's actually, what is in your barbecue?
Yeah, what's in your barbecue?
What's in your wallet? What's in your barbecue?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, before we end off here, I just want to get some words of advice from you guys for young entrepreneurs who are trying to pursue their dreams and build businesses from scratch. Like, based on your experience, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I'd say the first thing is that there's not, your grand vision is not going to come to you like in one day. So a lot of people are waiting for that. I mean, Mike and I talk all the time. They're waiting for that big hit, that big idea. And how we started, we just saw a need, we saw a problem, and we just got started. And if you, I mean, if you're basically, if you're looking, you're an aspiring entrepreneur, you're looking to start a business, we always say, I mean, identify a need, identify a problem. It doesn't necessarily need to be a problem. Maybe it's an emotional need. Maybe it's just something that people want. But identify that that exists, and then go and talk to those people and go and figure out, hey, is there enough people that actually want this enough to pay money for it? And then just figure out how much they're willing to pay. And though, I mean, it's just the easiest formula for any business, that you don't need to kind of develop this grand scheme business. You can just go and, from a grassroots approach, just have something that's viable in the start, and then build the layers on top as you get going. And just getting that start, getting your feet wet, and getting kind of, I mean, how would you get greasy, get started? I mean, just go and get started, and I mean, you never know what the possibilities are, and we come up with new ideas every day on how we can develop.
Just go for it.
Yeah, like basically how we started, right? We were charging next to nothing, and we would be doing the jobs all ourselves. So we'd be doing jobs all throughout the day and then going door to door all at night. And throughout that whole time, me and Matt were always talking about big picture vision stuff, like, oh, we could try this, we could try this, we could try this. But it's like, right now, this is what we're doing. But then we're just building up the vision. We're building up like the ability and the possibilities that we have down the road. So it's all about just getting started with the basic service. And then who knows where you're going to be in, you know, a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So just get started.
So get started, but then keep in the back of your mind a bigger picture kind of plan.
Exactly, yeah.
And make sure there's that need. Make sure that there's people who have that need and want to spend money on that.
That's key there. Make sure there's a need.
Yeah. Absolutely. Find your customers.
So how can people get in contact with you if they want to want your services?
Number of ways. I mean, we're on every social media platform. If you're a student watching this, give us a follow on Instagram. That's huge for us. We only produce good content. And I mean, the two of us, we're not your typical company page. It's the two of us. We really bring ourselves into it. If you want to hear our story, see glimpses into our startup, get some inspiration, give us a follow. Both of our LinkedIns, we like to use LinkedIn, connect with us. We're always looking to have coffee with other aspiring entrepreneurs, anyone who just wants to kind of talk business. I'm always open to it. And if you want to book your service right online through our website is the best way to do so.
Yeah, one last thing I will say, we're going through a huge round of recruiting right now, looking to hire about 20 guys or girls. So reach out to us on Instagram. We'll set something up. We're looking to do a lot of interviewing and just build our team, build our brand. And we really want to take this across Canada. So we're looking to build a really good team this summer.
Great. Thanks for coming on the show, Canadian Barbecue Boys. You heard it first. Keep hustling, guys.
If you guys liked that episode with the Canadian Barbecue Boys, follow The Restless Millennial on Instagram at TRMillennial, on Facebook at TRMillennial, and check us out on YouTube. Until next time, keep hustling.